This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
It's been a great start to the NFL season, and it's only getting better at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. DraftKings is kicking off another week of action by giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Just bet $1 on any football game this week and receive $150 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps to receive $150 in free bets instantly. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Hour number two of the Blitz starts now. Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, GP3 and Chance Collins will be for the next hour up at FM 105.7, AM 1340. As always, on the Periscope, hour number two, Smile, up at Fox Sports Knox. That's on Twitter and on Facebook. As always, if you like free stuff, well, we got the free 99 Fan Run Radio app. And if you hadn't downloaded it, what are you waiting on? Download that today in app stores, wherever apps are sold for you. And as always, you can head over to fanrunradio.com. Click that live link at the top, powered by MyBookie. You can listen to us there as well if you need to listen to the live stream. But need to let you know that hour number two portions of this going to be brought to you by our friends over at FanDuel. Man, FanDuel has just been doing us right all season long. We love it. You love it. That's why we continue to tell you about it. But this week, NFL's back, as you know, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone, a $10 risk-free bet every week. Thursday night is a great opportunity to go ahead and give it a try. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back. Excuse me. Oh. The Burger King coming out right there. Excuse me, FanDuel. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more. I was trying to hold that gas in. And if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. You can do a same-game parlay you like or, you know, just bet straight up money line. This week, there's a lot of games that I like, but same game parlay, I'm going to go with one that I think is going to have a lot of scoring because I haven't seen a lot of defense from my team in the first couple weeks. And I'm going to go with the 49ers and the Packers on Sunday night. That will be my same game parlay that I like for this week. But maybe you want to go with the Thursday night football game. Maybe that one tickles your fancy even more and you would like to go with, I think it's Carolina-Houston this week.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, you can go Carolina-Houston on the Thursday night football game, the same game parlay. Carolina's look pretty good, too. So I wouldn't say that's a bad bet. I mean, they've looked pretty dominant. They're 2-0. Houston, they hadn't looked awful with Tyrod Taylor, so you might want to go with them on that side. But, hey, build your same game parlay. Maybe even want to add another money line to that. But the same game parlay, bet small, win big. And while we love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook, it's because the fast payouts, man, pay you in as little as 24 hours. It's easy to use. Even Charlie can use it. It's safe and secure, and it's America's number one sportsbook. There's no feeling like nailing a same game parlay bet. So lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. If you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, you can also claim your 30-1 odds on either team to win in the Monday night game for next week when it's Philadelphia versus Dallas. Just sign up with promo code BLITZ. And if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. That's promo code BLITZ. As always, you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund of $10. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports and states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Man, that was a great slate of NFL games, wasn't it?
It really was.
It really was. We've had some good NFL games for the first couple of weeks. Like, I am not disappointed at all. I feel pretty damn good about what we've had the first couple weeks. We'll start off with your boys. I looked very bad in confidence picks. I picked Seahawks with 9, but it looked pretty good at first until the Seahawks just could not stop Derrick King Henry in the second half. Talk about your emotions during that game. I got to think the first half, you're pretty pissed off at your team.
I really wasn't, just because after I saw the list of inactives before the game, I thought we didn't really stand a chance. I didn't think we necessarily played very well in the first half, and that drive that the Seahawks had there at the end when they went into their two-minute drill to score that touchdown, that one kind of made me mad, because if you don't let them score there, it's only a one-possession game.
The referees obviously made you mad as well. Some bad calls in that game.
Taking away the Julio Jones touchdown, that one irked me. But I really wasn't that upset. It was one of those where I kind of went into it not expecting a win. It's hard going into Seattle. It just
very hard.
Yeah.
Not many teams do it. And I'm talking about the upper echelon of teams, your top-tier teams. Nobody really goes into that 12th man and comes out victorious very often.
And that was the first time I think they've lost a home opener in 15 years or something like that. They kept saying it on the broadcast.
Yeah, it was. It's definitely the first home opener in the Pete Carroll era.
Yeah. Russell Wilson era, I think, too. Yeah. I was just more excited than anything, I guess. Go in there with no expectations and you come away with a win in that fashion. Going into overtime.
It was a tough, gritty win for the Titans is what I took away from it. I also took a step back, and Titans are not my first team. They're my second favorite team because my mother was a big Titans fan. We used to go to a lot of games as season ticket holders. But I would say it made me, if I were just outright Titans fan, it worried me a little bit because I started to think to myself, who are the Titans without Derrick Henry?
Yeah.
Offensively, who are they without Derrick Henry? At best, 8-8 team, 9-8 team, something like that, since you got the 17 games this year. But they lean on Henry so much, and that's great because he's a great player. I mean,
he had 35 carries.
Yeah, you could argue the last couple of years he could have been your MVP. I mean, you could make a significant argument last year he could have been the MVP. But that's what I – do you worry about that, that if something happens to Derrick Henry, the whole season is shot?
I think it's in the back of your mind, but knock on wood, Derrick Henry has never had problems with
– No, he hasn't.
Like college, high school, his entire career.
He is the epitome of the workhorse.
Yeah.
He is literally the epitome of the workhorse, and I don't think that he minds it, and I don't think the Titans mind running him into the ground. Now, years from now, he may not have any knees, because all the work that he's done from the high school level to all the carries that he had at Alabama to all the carries he's now averaging in the NFL. But right now –
If you were to ask me,
it works.
If you were to ask me last year, I would probably be a lot more concerned. But with adding Julio to the team and the way he balled out on Sunday, it takes some of that pressure off of Derrick Henry, I think. Because A.J. Brown had an awful game.
Yes.
He had like 5 drops, only had 3 catches for like 40 yards or something like that. But Julio stepped up. He had 6 for, I think, 130. Should have had a touchdown in there, too. And then the backup, Jeremy McNichols, I think he's actually third string, but Darrington Evans is hurt again. He's solid in the backup role. He's a good pass-catching back. You saw when we went into the two-minute drill, he kind of came in and replaced Derrick Henry. So last year it would have been a huge, I think, red flag if something were to happen to Henry. This year it's obviously going to hurt because, I mean, he is that caliber of player that you need him on the field. But I would have faith that the offense would be all right if something were to happen.
Okay. I just want to get a perspective from Titans fans. When I look at the Titans, I'm like, I mean, if they don't have Derrick Henry, what do they really have? That's just my big perspective.
I don't want to find out.
Yeah. You definitely don't want to find out if you're a Titans fan, but I wonder about that. Does that worry Titans fans? You know, are you leaning a little bit too much on Henry? But he did his job in the second half. He just could not be stopped. I remember when they didn't give him the touchdown on the last drive before overtime. I was sitting there with some friends. I was getting off at my second job. I was like, well – if anybody who's going to score on the inch yard line, it's Derrick Henry. Like, nobody can stop him. It's what the Seahawks should have did when they were playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl. No matter what Charlie says about that being a great call,
no.
you give it to beast mode. You give it to Derrick Henry. I'd like to see what Charlie would have thought had the Titans thrown a slant
right
there and it got picked off.
Yeah.
It was the right call. No, it's not.
They even went in the shotgun and handed it off to him.
Yeah, you feed the beast. You definitely feed the beast. So that was something I thought was pretty – that's good for the Titans. That's great for Mike Vrabel. I have to give to him. He's not a bad coach.
No, there was one – I don't know if you watched the game, but at the
– I was watching the in and out.
At the very end of the game when we scored to tie it up, there was a play – so when Derrick Henry thought he had scored the touchdown.
Yes.
And they went back and reviewed it and said that he didn't score – they're like, because we initiated a review and the play was changed on the field, there's supposed to be a 10-second runoff.
Yes.
Vrabel elected to use a timeout instead of doing the runoff, which basically gave the Seahawks 10 extra seconds.
Yes.
And that was...
You're a little nervous there at the end if Russell Wilson can get in there with 27 seconds left to get a field goal.
The Titans still have two timeouts at that point. You'd let the time run off.
Then take your timeout.
Right. You let the time run off, and then if you want to, call your timeout or just run the play that you're going to run anyway. Because given Russell Wilson 30 seconds to get into field goal range, more times than not, he's probably going to capitalize on that.
Yeah, I thought the same thing whenever they got the ball back. My friend is a big Titans fan. I was like, nah, I wouldn't be so sure because 27 seconds, Russell Wilson, I feel like he can get in the field goal range. Now, they were not able to, and Titans got a lot of pressure on him. What'd you think about – was it a safety?
No, it wasn't.
I thought so, too. A lot of people were arguing that where I was at the other job, and I thought he was outside the tackle box, and I thought he got rid of the ball in time. Like I didn't think
Well, the contact was initiated with the quarterback before he was in the end zone, and then they blew the play dead before he threw it away.
Before.
So either way you look at it, it wasn't a safety. It would have been cool to have a walk-off safety, but no, it wasn't. It was the right call.
That was an exciting game from the weekend. The other exciting matchup came Sunday night with the Chiefs and the Ravens. Action Jackson bounces back. Lamar Jackson, after a questionable start to the season, he couldn't really get it going. He throws for 240 yards, really putting the team on his back for over 239 yards, and rushes for 108 yards and two touchdowns and seals it with a touchdown run there at the end after he did the old flip as well. Flipping into the end zone, and he even described the Chiefs as his kryptonite, but he was able to finally get past them. What'd you think about that game? I think we're looking at the Chiefs and not as strong as what we thought they were.
Their defense is
pretty bad.
Yeah, their defense will be – if there's a reason the Chiefs don't make it to the Super Bowl, it'll be because of their defense.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes can do everything.
I mean, they couldn't stop him. I mean, if you put the Titans in that situation, Derrick Henry should have a field day. You put the Bills in that situation, I think Josh Allen is going to go off, whether or not he's running the ball or just finding the open spots in the defense. I think for the first time in, 3 years, the Chiefs actually look like a beatable team.
Yeah, I agree, too. It was for the second straight week that they had to score 30-plus in order to win, but they fell a little bit short against the Ravens.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I'm surprised he hasn't been
fumble.
Cut yet.
That fumble, oh, man, that killed the go-ahead drive, which would have pretty much put the game in the bag for him, in my opinion. But the Ravens, as much as we're talking about Lamar Jackson, how he's able to bounce back and how he put the team on his back, their defense. And this is for the first time in 26 years, the Ravens allowed more than 30 points in each of their first two games. Wow. Talk about some dominance.
You can give a pass to them playing the Chiefs.
You can.
But, I mean, the Raiders, I don't think they're 30-point offense good, I guess. You should be able to hold the Raiders to under 30 points.
Yeah, you say that, then the Raiders look pretty good over the weekend as well. Raiders win another one. They sit firmly at 2-0, and they beat a pretty decent, Pittsburgh Steelers team.
Derek Carr has looked good. He's had a resurgence, I guess. because I was calling for him to be benched in that week one game so I could see Marcus play.
Everybody wants to see. Everybody had been calling for his benching over the last couple years. He's kind of been an up-and-down quarterback. He's been a lot like what a lot of quarterbacks.
He's like his brother.
Yeah. He's been a lot what a lot of quarterbacks have been in the NFL if you're not one of the top 10 or top 7 quarterbacks. You either look really good when you look good, or when you look bad, you look really bad. Kind of what we said Marcus Mariota looked a lot like whenever he was with the Titans. 865-546-8200. We'll come back on the other side, though. We'll continue to talk about the NFL. Let's hit you with some winners and losers from week 2 and then look at some of the matchups moving forward. Talk about some of these rookies, too. Interested to get into the quarterback rookie discussion. We had some key injuries in week 2 as well. Keep it locked here. This is the Blitz, and this is Fan Run Radio. They absolutely have a great offense, or not offense, but great defense there in Denver. You just got to go in there and game manage. That's what Teddy Bridgewater has been doing so far. They're off to a 2-0 start. Like I said, Zach Wilson looked bad. Trevor Lawrence does not look good. Mac Jones looked decent.
You think the Jaguars would have been better off letting Minshew start and let Trevor Lawrence like take a year to learn underneath them?
No. Because I don't think that they would be that much better. Now, he lost this game. They lost this game by what, 10? 10 or 11?
10.
10, yeah. By 10. And they lose the first game pretty bad. But I don't think that Gardner Minshew gives them that much more than Trevor Lawrence would. I mean, Trevor Lawrence is ready to go. We've said he's been ready to go for the last 2 years that he was in college. We said he could probably have went as a freshman out of college. So it's hard to be like, yeah, maybe you should sit him. Because I think he's the most NFL ready out of the rookies. Now, he's also a rookie quarterback. As NFL ready as he was coming out of college, that just means he was strides ahead of his opponents and his peers. That doesn't mean that he's going to go to the league and be strides ahead of the veteran players that are in the league. Like, he still has to adapt to the NFL game. So I don't think that Minshew would be that much better, but he's going to have some struggles. There's going to be some growing pains with him. Justin Fields, he gets to come in after Andy Dalton went down with a knee injury. We're still not sure if Andy Dalton's going to be out for this week's game. I don't think it was a bad injury as far as when the MRI came back, but
I think he came back in the game, didn't he? Like Fields came
in
and
part.
Then Dalton retook the spot.
Yeah, Fields came in. He didn't look great. He brings an element of excitement, though. I mean, with the dual threat that he brings to the table, he has more intangibles than Dalton does, and Dalton's done in the latter part of his career. We know he's not the same Andy Dalton he was with the Bengals. And Fields threw a pick late in that game, too. So when you look at that team, you ask yourself, well, are they drastically better under Fields than they are Dalton? I tend to think they are because the element that he has, being able to use his legs as well. But are they that much better? I'm not sure yet. I'm still not sure. So that's some of the rookie play. The Rams continue to roll on. They get another win with Matt Stafford. Carson Wentz, man, the ace bandage himself, is down once again. Carson Wentz hurt again. His status is unknown. His status is going to be unknown moving forward. Carson Wentz, you start to feel sorry for the guy, right? A little bit.
He's on the Colts now.
Yeah, now you have a you have a bias there.
If he was still on the Eagles, sure, but I mean,
he's taking a pounding, though, man.
He just can't stay healthy. I mean, I hate that he can't stay healthy because that's been the knock against him his whole career. But if he stays healthy, does Philly win a Super Bowl?
Questions we'll never know the answers to. Trey Lance, you didn't see any of him this past week. They went with Jimmy G the entirety of the game. But we did see our guy Juwan Jennings got his first NFL touchdown. Hey, go Juwan. He's a dog.
Did you see the story, too, that Juwan thought he lost his game ball from the first touchdown because he spiked it, I guess, after scoring, and George Kittle went and found it and took it and held it for him until the end of the game. So that was kind of cool.
He did what? Excuse me. I'm sorry.
George Kittle went and retrieved the touchdown ball because Juwan thought he lost it because he spiked it or spun it or something after he
Kittle
scored.
Kittle got it for him.
Kittle went and got it for him and that's saved it awesome. For him.
Look at that. That's a pretty awesome move by him. But, yeah, I thought some of the rookie quarterbacks, they're not wowing us like I thought they were. Guys that took a step back, Jameis took a step back in week two. The Panthers look pretty good. They're off to a 2-0 start. I guess the trade for Sam Darnold continues to look pretty profitable for them. He looks pretty good as a Panther.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought as well? The Bills, they get a bounce back. They win against the Dolphins easily. Tua also goes down in that game. Well, he has a rib injury, so we'll continue to monitor the status of him for the rest of the week. And then outside of that, I mean, we already talked about the Thursday night game. Those were some pretty exciting games, though. I thought Jalen Hurts played okay against San Francisco. We talked about Derek Carr already. He played pretty damn well against Pittsburgh. Who doesn't look so great is Big Ben. They were seeing Father Time catch up to him, as we knew.
Catch up to everybody but Brady, I guess.
Yeah. He found the fountain of youth, though. 865-546-8200-546-8200. We'll get to winners and losers, but also, let's go and take a phone call. Let's get a call from Buckeye Guy. Buckeye Guy, you're on the G3 Help Me hotline. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I heard y'all talking, obviously, about Trevor Lawrence and everybody. And, I mean, I agree with an extent. At the same time, I do look at the teams that he has played first. I think he'll be fine when it's all said and done. But he played a Texans team that, in my opinion, showed out better. I mean, look at them, what they did against Cleveland. They covered the spread, obviously. That was at 13.5 or 12.5 or something like that. And it was like a 3-point game late. So, I mean, and then obviously the Broncos who have showed out, in my opinion, the first 2 weeks. Teddy Bridgewater is obviously playing tremendous for them. So, I mean, I'm really not that worried. And for instance, I have Marvin Jones on my fantasy team. After the first drive of the Jaguars game, I looked at my fantasy and he had 14 points. So I was like, well, Trevor Lawrence must be doing something right. He got the TD pass and he had a few – got a few touches. But, I mean, yeah, and I'm obviously interested in seeing Justin Fields being an Ohio State fan. So, I mean, I'm really not that worried about it. But I mean, like, how long do you all think it'll take, though? I mean, you brought up the point with Gardner Minshew, and I necessarily don't think that's a bad idea. At the same time, I don't think it's a bad idea to play Trevor Lawrence and let him learn from his mistakes as long as he has a good mentor there to help him.
Yeah, I guess with the only thing I can think of is the Bears, how they're looking at it. Maybe it's because of how they're going to use Fields, that they are going to use his legs a lot, and they are going to use his intangibles, you know, the things he can do as a dual-threat quarterback, that they don't want to put him in that position to hurt himself this year. But, I mean, at the beginning of the season, I thought that they should have started him. The way he looked in the preseason, I thought Justin Fields should get the nod over Andy Dalton. I'm not a big Andy Dalton fan, especially at this point in his career. I just think that he's a career backup quarterback from here on out. But, I mean, you make a good point there. Like, how long will it be? I mean, Matt Nagy's job isn't the most secure in the NFL. I mean, a lot of people would say he's on the hot seat this season because how they've underachieved since they got him. You know, he was a pupil of Andy Reid. They expected him to come in with this high-powered offensive mindset, and you hadn't seen nothing. But you also haven't seen nothing because they haven't went out and got the guys that they should to run that type of offense.
Exactly.
And then you go out and you get Fields, and you go out and you get Fields, and you think, there's another added element. Here's a guy. He's not Patrick Mahomes, but he can be better.
Yes. So, and I agree with that 100%. And with Justin Fields, I think in the preseason, something that he did is he pissed a lot of players off from his comments that he said. Do you know what I'm talking about right off the top of the head?
Yeah, when he said the NFL's not that much different.
Yeah, he was saying it's not as fast as what I thought. You know, we're not really playing too fast, so it's not that hard. I think he pissed some people off, you know, I mean. But hey, one more question for you all. Chance in particular, you know, I saw where you had a good hit on FanDuel the other day. Did it happen to get anything this weekend?
No, I came up short in the Chiefs Ravens game. I just needed a Mark Andrews touchdown, would have netted me about the same. I had 3 of the 4, and then last night I missed out. All I needed was a Scantling touchdown and a Davante Adams, and I would hit pretty big.
So I ended up coming out on top this week, and I just want to tell you this, and I'll get off here and listen to you all. In that Chiefs game as well, I had a seven-leg parlay. The two I messed up, I had Tyreek Hill over 90.5 yards, and I had Travis Kelce under 90.5 yards. And those are the two that missed. If I would have flopped them, I would have got it right. That was at like plus 6,000, put 10
on
it.
Oh, man.
And then and I actually cashed out to where I had $6 and a penny in there. Last night I did a first half three-leg parlay. Aaron Jones touchdown score, T.J. Hockenson touchdown score. Obviously that both happened. And then Green Bay Packers to win or tie the first half. All they had to do was win or tie the first half. And that one, I put $6 and one penny down on it because that's just what I had in there at the time. And that was going to pay out about $260 off of $6 and one penny. And and
so
the Green
close.
Bay Packers really screwed me.
Hey, the life of the gambler. Hey, appreciate the call, Buckeye Guy. Always good to hear from you, man.
Guys.
Long time, no talkie.
Guys.
Hey, that was Buckeye Guy. You can call and chime in with your thoughts on anything that happened in the NFL. Maybe you want to talk same game parlays with us as well. That's a tough one, Buckeye Guy. You got to go with Cephas last night, though. Almost hit him on the first touchdown score. I changed it the last minute, but I did get him on the same game parlay. On the other side, we'll do winners and losers from the NFL Week 2. Keep it locked here. This is The Blitz, and this is Fan on Radio. Welcome back to The Blitz, live here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Talk Sports, they're getting amped. They're out in the lobby. They're ready to go. They got you covered from noon until 3. Followed by The Drive from 3 until 6 with Russell Smith and The Bear. Then 6 until 8, overtime with Will Stevens and the boys. He and Tucker Holt, they'll cap it off. Do it all again tomorrow starting at 7 a.m. with 3 and Out right here on Fan Run Radio. Time to get, though, to winners and losers, week 2 of the NFL slate that was. Like I said, a lot of great games, a lot of great performances, but it's time to separate the winners from losers. GP3, which one do you want to go with first, winners or losers?
Let's do losers first.
Let's do losers first then, huh? You got a loser already? Give me your first one.
Yeah, so first loser, I'm going to go with the Giants. They played primetime football this week. Honestly, when you think about it, they probably should have won that game.
Absolutely.
And then to let it slip away there at the end, and then have him miss the field goal to think you won, only to maybe have somebody be offsides. From the replay that I saw, it looked, you know, almost simultaneous with the snap versus him jumping across. But to let that game slip away from you in division, that's one game that they needed to win. So losing that, going down 0-2 on the season now, got to make them a loser.
Yeah, and they start off at 0-2 for the fifth straight season. Talk about a team really with some letdown there. One of my losers for the week two has to be the Jets and Zach Wilson. All the talk coming into the season, I know it's only two games into the season, but the Jets, they look like the ultimate loser as Sam Darnold and his new team cruise to a 2-0 win-loss record, and the Jets are now at 0-2, and it doesn't look like Zach Wilson that much better than Sam Darnold. It doesn't look like he's better than Sam Darnold at all right now to this point. And I know he's a rookie, so he's going to have some rookie woes, and that's very tough for me to grade him at this early point in his career. But I got to say, man, the Jets, they are one of my losers for week two just because, and that's juxtaposed with how well Sam Darnold is doing in Carolina. And what a different, a change in scenery can do for a person. And also just maybe all the problems weren't Sam Darnold's. They had nobody to protect Sam Darnold. You can't keep killing Sam Darnold in the each down and him taking all those hits and expect anything to profit from that. That's the same thing we've seen from Zach Wilson, although he has looked pretty bad passing the ball too. Like I said, 4 interceptions in his first 10 pass attempts. So he is one of my losers. He and the New York Jets. Jets.
Nathan Peterman a run for his money.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. All right, another loser, GP3.
Yeah, second loser, I'm going with the Colts. Not just because they lost, but how they lost. They were really in prime position to come away with a win against the Rams. And then Carson Wentz going down. Now you find out that it's both of his ankles that he sprained. Might not be ready for this week against the Titans. If he's not able to go, you're looking at a possible 0-3 to start the season. So things are not looking too bright for the Colts right now.
He has sprains to both of his ankles.
Both ankles.
Both ankles. Like, he is Mr. Glass. Like, he is Mr. Glass.
I told the guys yesterday, he reminds me of that guy from SpongeBob, where he's, every morning I wake up and break both my legs. When I go to bed, I break both my arms.
Just I feel bad for him. Like I said, I know that you're a Titans fan. You don't feel so much remorse for the Colts, but I feel bad for Carson Wentz now. We call him an ace bandage, and it's true. The best ability is availability, and he just cannot be available for his teams. And he's breaking everything. He's literally breaking down in front of our eyes as we watch him. So, good loser right there. My second loser has got to be the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
Atlanta Falcons lose to your division rival. And at the same time, all the expectations that we thought, you know, a new coach, Dan Quinn's out. They got Arthur Miller now from the Titans.
Arthur Smith.
Arthur Miller is the owner.
Well, Arthur Miller, isn't that also the actor who played in Dexter for the Trinity Killer? Isn't that his name?
Maybe. I think Arthur Miller might be the owner.
That's a playwright. Arthur Miller's the guy who wrote Death of a Salesman, I think.
Arthur Smith, though, new coach for the Falcons. You know, you get him in, there's a lot of high expectations for the Falcons to at least get back to being like maybe a wild card favorite, or even some people, you and Charlie, thought they might be able to compete for
I said wild card, though. Let me put it out there. I said I thought they would compete for the third wild card spot. He said they were winning the division. There's a difference.
Charlie did say that the Falcons were going to win that division. But, yeah, I think that they are definitely a big loser. They just don't look good. I don't know what they do. You are Arthur Miller, Death of a Salesman. Maybe that's where I got that from. I don't know. But they just don't look good.
I'm a man of culture.
Yeah, you are. You're a Renaissance man. They just don't look good. That's all I have to really say about that. And their division's only going to get better as we see that the Saints are not really skipping too much of a beat with Jameis. Bucks are reaching out to Richard Sherman. I mean, come on. Like, they're going to be in the back burner before you know it. The Panthers, they look good. Like, everybody in that division looks pretty damn good outside of the Atlanta Falcons, and the curse of Atlanta lives on. My first winner is Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Is he a real MVP candidate? Because he damn sure looks like one.
You got to put him up there right now.
He's number one right now, right?
Yeah, it's got to be.
Is anybody ahead of him? Can you think of anybody?
Maybe Brady, because he's got 9 touchdown passes through.
Maybe Tom Brady, but what he's done with his legs, how he's kind of put this Cardinals team on his back, I thought they were down and out in that game. I thought they were done.
Well, they should have lost. Minnesota missed a chip shot field
goal. No, I know. But I'm saying I just thought they were down and out, and he's able to bring them back. 400-plus passing yards again for the second week in a row. I think he accounted for 3 total touchdowns again this week. I think it was 5 last week. It might have been 3 or 4 this week. Kyler Murray looks damn good. And all the haters, I guess you got to be pretty quiet about him. People who thought he wasn't going to be able to make it, he was too short, can't see over the offensive line, defensive line, things like that. Kyler Murray looks pretty good. And my last winner is my guy Aaron Jones. Last night, 4 touchdowns against the Detroit Lions, just simply took over that game. Packers didn't even have to really go to their passing game much with the way he was playing. And he recovered his chain with his dad's ashes in it.
Oh, he did find it?
They did recover the chain. He had the grounds crew on it after the game. I saw him flash it on that second touchdown that he had, I believe was the second one, where he pulls it out and he flashed, and I guess maybe that around about that time he lost it. But he did recover his chain with his father's ashes in it. So that's my second winner, Aaron Jones.
All right, my first one, biased pick, but got to go Tennessee Titans and Derrick Henry. Coming back from 15 points down in the second half, that's something that has never happened to the Seahawks. They've never lost a home game ball leading by at least 15. So to be able to make that comeback, but more importantly, make that comeback while doing it all on the ground, just goes to show you how feared the Tennessee run game can be with Derrick Henry. So they're my number one. Number two, I'm going Sam Darnold. Just getting out of New York, getting away from the Jets, finding a new home. And I wouldn't say he's lighting it up, but he's doing what he needs to do to get his team to win.
Yeah, to win ball games. Hey, that was winners and losers for week two of the NFL season. But guess what? Week three is right around the corner. And another big matchup is the Monday night matchup between Philadelphia and Dallas. And FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger. Because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can end the NFL week right on Monday Night Football by winning $150 on a $5 bet. I love the Philadelphia Eagles in this just because simply the Dallas Cowboys tend to come up short in primetime games as of late in recent years. So I would take the Philadelphia Eagles, but hey, don't believe me. Just believe the stats there. Do a same game parlay. Maybe even do a money line bet or a spread. Touchdown score. Anytime touchdown. Maybe first touchdown score. That's what GP3 likes. Offers like this are just many reasons why we love betting the NFL on FanDuel. It's number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure and fast payouts in less than 24 hours. FanDuel is sports betting made simple, and they're always hooking you up with great offers. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sports book. Just sign up with promo code BLITZ this week before Dallas takes on Philadelphia. You could win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code BLITZ so they know that we sent you. As always, you must be 21 or older and present in the state of Tennessee. New users only, $10 first deposit required, must wager in designated offer market, max bonus of $150, bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Come back on the other side, wrap up the show. Keep it locked here. All right, wrapping up the show here today. Great show. If you missed anything, hour number one is up at SoundCloud, also on iTunes. Hour number two will be up as soon as we get out of here. But to end the day, end the show, little Florida woman story this time. Ashley Ruffin, that's right, 31-year-old resident of Royal Leaf Lane in Palm Coast, faces a felony, child abuse, and misdemeanor battery charge after she held an underage boy in a lock to allow two other boys, including her son, to beat this kid up. That's right. She helped her son beat up another kid. The incident at first appears to be retaliation for another beating in which Ruffin's son was allegedly the victim in an Indian Trails Middle School corridor, at least described by some of the witnesses involved. Ruffin, in an emotional 15-minute video posted on her Facebook Friday evening, and her husband tell a vastly different story. She says she refrained from pressing charges against the student who attacked her son at school last week, as captured on video, because she didn't want the student to have a criminal record, only for him to again attack her son at the sports complex. I'm not laughing about the kids. I'm laughing about this dumbass woman. Or she was about to pick him up, or she says she stopped the fight. I wish you were in my shoes. What would you do if your kid was getting beat inside of a school? She asked in the confessional video. According to the arrest report, though, the mother of the alleged victim approached the school resource deputy at Indian Trails Middle School Thursday afternoon, claiming her son was jumped by two other juveniles and that Ruffin had allegedly assaulted her son as well. Woman claimed that Ruffin got out of her car, grabbed the reporting woman's son by the hair and arm, while the other two males continued to beat him. Get him, Timmy! Get him! This then took place at the Indian Trails Sports Complex just south at the school. Several juveniles met the deputy when he went to investigate. The alleged victim told him he'd been sitting with his friends when two others, not the scene, approached and started the fight. The alleged victim's friends sought to help him. Then the woman, later identified as Ruffin, allegedly showed up, grabbed the alleged victim, and enabled the others to hit him. Wow. You really know how to do it well down there in Florida. Mom's jumping in on fights. Hey, we'll hit you with a Florida story each hour as we go along. It's Florida Hate Week here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. But for GP3, I'm Chance Collins. We'll do it all again tomorrow with Charlie and Ryan. Talk Sports is up next. Keep it locked here for more Fan Run Radio.